All right, here we go. Overdrive off and running. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 4. Brian Hayes, Jamie Noodles McLennan. There's Jonas Siegel back in here with The Athletic. And Jonas, you picked a good day, I think.
I'm so fired up.
You picked a good day. Very good day.
Yes.
Because of what is happening in the NBA. We are on the verge of free agency tomorrow. And here's Kevin Durant dropping the bombshell of bombshells, which really isn't that shocking. But he's requested out. He wants out. He's getting out. The Nets are already working with him and his reps. That means he is going to get flipped. It's just a matter of time. That's the nature of the NBA. If a superstar says that he wants out, he gets his wish and he gets out. And that means Kyrie Irving is probably going to opt into the contract and then eventually leave as well. What a story we have
in
Brooklyn.
What is going on here? I mean, this is, Hayes, you love it. You love this water cooler material. This, you wish the NHL was like this, but you do
you
what
don't,
you don't.
You does?
Okay, well, let's for all the whispers we've heard, every time Edmonton would lose out, then McDavid wants out. You want the whispers to be about 34 coming up?
It doesn't bother me. Like,
you know, what are you talking about?
Do I care?
Well, you do care, believe me. You care a lot. And we all do in this market.
You.
The last thing I want is to hear whispers and talk about it for the next 12 and a half months of dirty. You know, I don't want that personally.
Well, the difference is if it's a one-off in the NHL, then you can really feel like you get burned. In the NBA, it's every 6 months a superstar wants out and gets flipped. I've been saying this for years. It really turns over quicker than any other sport I've ever seen before, and I don't really know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. I don't, because it's been so quick to develop to this point where there's been so much movement. It really started, like, there's been players jumping around forever, free agency jumping around forever, players wanting out forever. But when LeBron ushered in this new era, when he made the decision and he left, that opened up the floodgates for every player in the league to say, well, he left, so I can leave. Like, if he left his hometown on national TV, I'm out of here.
Was it ESPN?
It was on ESPN.
I remember being hungover in Vegas with one of the hangover heaven needle in my arm. There was eight of us getting IVs and watching ESPN. And LeBron is leaving. What did he say?
Taking his talents to South Beach.
Taking
he and
my
Jim Gray
there.
At the Boys and Girls Club in Greenwich, Connecticut. And he's taking his talents to South Beach. And what that allowed every star to do, including LeBron, who went back to Cleveland and now is in L.A. and might leave L.A. at some point.
Yeah.
It is just the Wild West in the NBA. And the issue is there are haves and have-nots, clearly.
Right.
Like, already the reports are out there he wants to go to Phoenix, which doesn't come up a lot. Remember, O brought that up last week. No one ever wants to go there. Phoenix, Miami, you know, it'll be the usual cast of characters. There'll be four or five teams he'll be willing to go to. But he's got 4 years on his deal. He does not have full control over where he goes, which may open the door open for more teams to possibly knock on it.
Like the one here?
Like the one here. And
wow,
if
you
you're
are
Masai,
excited.
You have to. You have to.
Yep.
You absolutely have to. You've got to. But it's two calls. If you're Masai Ujiri, it's two calls. It's one to Sean Marks, the GM in Brooklyn. Find out what the deal is. And the second one is to Kevin Durant. And you've got to make sure you get a commitment that he's willing to come up here and stay.
What do you mean? He doesn't have a choice. He's signed. We've been through this
Brooklyn,
before.
Here's the thing, Jonas.
Do you remember?
We're 4 minutes into the show.
I love it.
Brooklyn doesn't have to trade him. He made a request like an hour ago, and they're like, okay. Like, the NBA, it doesn't matter what the contract says. No move, no trade. The superstars make the call. Harden, where did he want to go? Brooklyn. The guy shows up 45 pounds overweight. He's not trying. He looks like a plug. Where does he go? Brooklyn. 6 months later, I want to go to Philly. Okay, you go to Philly. Like, these guys control everything.
I think that's true, sort of. But we saw this here. He didn't want to come here.
Kawhi?
Yeah, remember
very
when
different.
Remember right when, well, he had 1 year left. Remember right when they made the trade, all the talk was, well, he doesn't want to go to Toronto. He's not going to come to Toronto. Is he going to come? And then they're like, yeah, we're just going to take the chance he'll come. He's under contract. What's he going to do?
Very different.
Why
very
is he
different?
Played, I think he had played 9 games before.
That's why it's
the
different.
Year before, right?
How does that make it different?
Because we
totally
didn't know what we're
let me explain why it's different for a couple of different reasons. One, again, he had 1 year left on his deal, not four. Durant's got four.
Even more leverage, but
Kawhi had 1 year left. But the point, the argument that we're having here, Jonas, is whether or not the player will accept it. But, not about leverage from a team standpoint.
But explain that to me. What do you mean accept it? He's under contract.
If he if he shows up here and goes, in 6 months, I want out, what do you think? Masai can somehow be the only manager ever in the NBA to say, no, you have to keep playing?
You wouldn't take the chance, like, either way?
I think you need to ask him, are you willing to come up and play? I think you have to get some sort of an answer. I think it's imperative. The way the NBA works, these guys control everything.
But no matter what he tells you, it doesn't matter. He could say, yeah, I'm cool. And then 6 months, yeah, not happening.
That's valid. And that's the gamble you got to take. But if he comes, if he picks up the phone and goes, dude, I'm not coming up. Or if you trade for me, I'm demanding out immediately. You're going to trade Scottie Barnes and Fred VanVleet for that?
I would.
I think that's silly.
Why?
I think you need to get some sort of an answer from him, even if he's not at the top of your list, which he wouldn't be. The Raptors are not.
But
if we're
being
honest, they're not
stuff,
at the top of anyone's list.
I don't think the list. I that's nice. Like if I'm Brooklyn, I see your list. That's nice. I'm going to trade him where I can get the best package. And who can put together a better package than the team here?
Jonas, again.
Yeah.
Okay,
Detroit
could give them a better one. Why would Detroit make the deal?
What's Detroit going to give up?
Cade Cunningham is just as much as valuable.
But where are they going? They don't have enough left. That's the question I think that's really that you need to answer me here, Hayes. If you were to trade whatever, do you have enough left to win a title? And that's what I don't know.
I don't know if they do.
And that's the question.
Well,
but
we see
so
it differently.
You're talking
clearly.
Here in Toronto.
Yeah.
You're saying like if you what Scottie Barnes and who? What would
the
be
problem
a legitimate...
is like you have to make the money work, so you have to include probably OG.
Fred?
Well, of course, it's minimum
Trent.
Two of these guys. It's one comment. It's a minimum of either Barnes, VanVleet, and an Obi Siakam. Two of them, whichever ones Brooklyn wants.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, like three or four picks, pick swaps. It's
everything.
The most massive deal in franchise history, in league history.
Mm-hmm.
It's everything.
in league history?
And that's why, again, I can't emphasize this enough. If this guy won't stay, you are screwing yourself. You can't do it. You can't trade Scottie Barnes and Fred VanVleet and then Kevin Durant say, pull an Alonzo Mourning and say, I'm not coming. Like, what do you want? I'm not coming.
Okay, so then don't collect your paycheck. Don't pass go.
So what? Yeah. Guess what's going to happen
gonna
in
come.
The NBA? No, he's not, Jonas.
Oh, man. All right. We disagree.
It's not. So it's not the way the NBA works.
It is the way the NBA works.
I
don't
love
know what
this.
You're talking about.
Do you know the Alonzo Mourning story? Like, are you familiar with
that
it?
That situation is not the same. That's
no,
not the same.
It's the exact same.
It's not.
He literally
the Raptors were
didn't
not good
come.
Then. They were not good.
This is awesome.
Man.
We are 8 minutes in.
Do you think
Kevin
the Raptors
Durant
are great right now?
Our day.
And again, it's different.
I think with Kevin Durant... It depends what the trade is. Like, they could win a title.
I agree with you.
Which is the whole point of this.
We're having a separate conversation here.
I know. Like, here's the thing,
Brian. I agree that I would be all over it.
Okay.
If he's willing to come up here, I go all in if I'm Masai and the Raptors. If you call him up and he goes, I'm not coming, or I'm not interested, or it's not going to happen, then I honestly, I don't think you can do it. I don't think you can afford to trade Scottie Barnes and VanVleet and picks. And then this guy jams you up. Like, look at where Brooklyn is right now. Look what they are going to walk into an absolute black hole for the next, like, 5 years.
Well, the problem, Hayes, is they can't because they need to stay competitive because they traded all their picks.
Exactly.
Right.
Which
but
is
how
why.
How are they going to do that? Like, they got to get a big haul back, clearly.
Yeah, players.
They're not going to get
picks.
Anything for Kyrie.
No.
But, yeah. Again,
I mean, you think back, Hayes, like, the biggest trade probably in the last however many years in the NBA. Is Anthony Davis, and they gave up Lonzo, they gave up Ingram, they gave up, I think, Kyle Kuzma, and I think they gave up like three or four picks. And KD is obviously better than AD, so more. I don't know what that is.
I think, again, I would guess it's Scottie Barnes and Van Vliet or Scotty Barnes and Siakam. But
my question is, if two of those go, can KD put you over the top to
yes,
be
that's a good
contender?
Question.
I
don't know.
So. I believe
okay,
so.
Okay, so then, like, Masai, getting back, and I know what you guys are arguing about, but getting back to this, like, Masai has to be picking up the phone.
Yes,
Masai has to be in on everything, especially when it comes to this, just
absolutely.
To even... Wasn't Durant a Raptors fan at some point? Didn't
yep.
he admit that?
Who the hell knows what that means? Yes, he was. But
he's spoken very highly of the Raptors over the years, too.
Good They're... for them. That's respect in the handshake line.
He's friends with Drake, too? Good pals?
Well, no, he gives Drake
Drake's going to make that
he?
Phone call.
Yeah,
that's
true.
Actually not the worst idea.
That's not a bad
Drake
idea.
Call. But see, there you go, Jonas. I thought you didn't have to make the call. I thought it didn't matter. Why would you make the call?
That's true.
You
don't
have to,
make
the call. You got to call the guy. You got to ask Durant
okay, so let's,
somehow, are you willing to come up and play here?
Okay. So
and give it your all for
Can I
years.
Ask you this?
Yes.
Let's say you make that call, and he's like, yeah, I guess you're out.
No. If it's because I think he'd be definitive. Okay. I think he'd be like, absolutely not. Don't waste your time. But
so that would be
if
it
the
for
door's
you.
Open,
if he said that, you'd be done. You'd be like, I'm
right.
out.
Yes, uh-huh. I think I wouldn't trust him, man. I wouldn't look at how Brooklyn probably feels right now. This guy just signed the deal. He's got 4 years left. He's out. Like he's, yeah. And Kyrie opted back in, his guy.
I think they're just over all that. But yeah.
Yeah, you're probably right. All right, here's Alex Schiffer of The Athletic. He covers the Brooklyn Nets. Is this surprising at all, Alex, the news that KD wants out?
You know, it is and it isn't. I mean, obviously, even after Kyrie opted into his player option, there was still skepticism that the dust had settled from all this, given the drama that it encapsulated it. But you're on the eve of free agency. You see some of the people the Nets were going to be linked to. It looked like they had the band back together, and then all of a sudden this drops, and now they're pressing the reset button as free agency starts. So the result, no. The timing, a little bit, yes.
What would a package look like? Like, if you're using the Raptors as an example, if you could put a package together, Masai Ujiri calls up Sean Marks and says, we're in, they believe they can make a deal work. How does this package look? How does this play out, in your opinion?
That's a good question. I'm pulling up the roster now.
Like, is it Barnes, Van Vliet, and picks? Is it Barnes, Siakam, and picks? Is it what are they looking for?
I'm told the Nets want multiple All-Stars. I would ask for Barnes, Siakam, and picks probably.
Yeah.
Or some combination like that. They are not looking, and this will not look like the Nets of post-Celtics trade 2012-13 time, because they're going to get a bounty back for this guy. If I were Sean Marks, I'm going eBay style and putting it to the highest bidder. You don't know if Kevin Durant anything in terms of preferred destination, and they're already kind of limited. You know, you heard about Miami and
Phoenix.
They can't acquire Bam Adebayo because of a clause in the CBA with having multiple guys on your roster that were traded on a rookie extension. They have Ben Simmons already, so. I am going for, and that might even limit who you can ask for from Toronto. So Scotty Barnes is a must because I would want the best young player I could get out of this. And then I would go from there. I mean, if Siakam can't be acquired since Fred's already on another deal, are you going for him? I would be going for picks and as many young guys as you can get, but I would not be going through with a deal without Scotty Barnes.
Yeah, you got to believe Barnes would be at the forefront of it. And we just got into a big argument over whether or not, you know, calling up Durant matters. Like you just mentioned the Nets. They've got him on he's got a four-year deal left. It's not like he can completely control this. But the nature of the NBA is the players generally do. Harden wanted to go to Brooklyn. He got to Brooklyn. Then he wanted to go to Philly. He got to Philly. Like AD wanted to go to L.A. He got to L.A. Is there any reason to believe Durant will not end up where he wants to end up for the most part?
It's a good question. As you said, you know, history kind of shows that that teams kind of tailor it toward the player's destination, but this is unprecedented, right? We've never seen a player of Kevin Durant's power with 4 years of control on their contract asking to be traded, still with relatively in the prime of the years. It's not like he's 37 asking for this. So we don't really have anything to go off in terms of, I think I think you could argue this is a different animal than the situations you just described. And some of those teams, you know, like Paul George with his destination, right, to join Kawhi, I mean, Oklahoma City probably was playing with a different hand than those because they already had a ton of picks from the Anthony Davis situation. So, you know, we're talking about the Nets who just sent all their future picks to Houston. Got to be a party down there right now. And they need to recoup as many assets for this as they can get. So I don't think Bakers can be choosers in this situation compared to some of the other ones we've seen like that.
Alex, what do you think this means for Kyrie, who just opted into his contract?
I don't think he's sticking around. I don't know. I would kind of wait and see because there's going to be, and obviously Kyrie's market is a lot different than Kevin's, but is there a team that if they miss out on Kevin, would they still want Kyrie even for 60 cents on the dollar? You wonder a little bit. If you're the Nets, you can't trade for Russell Westbrook. I mean, him and him alongside Ben Simmons are two non-shooters, play similar styles. It just, John Wooden couldn't scheme something up that works with those two. Just from a basketball perspective, it doesn't.
Right.
So I don't know what you do with Kyrie in the immediate, but I would try to unload him for anything other than Russell Westbrook. If that's getting another team involved, whatever. But they just can't take a deal like that at this stage. I mean, look at the bad will they already have today. It's not going to look good taking on him. You ship out Kevin Durant and bring in Russell Westbrook. I mean, the optics of this already suck. So I just, with Kyrie's market, I say you deal with Kevin first and worry about Kyrie after.
With Alex Schiffer of The Athletic, we'll get you out of here on a question that is close to home for us. Steve Nash, obviously a legend up here. I don't know if he could coach based on the gong show that was the Nets this year. I couldn't get a read on it one way or the other, but my understanding is he has no interest of coaching a team that could win 25 games or 30 games. If that's the truth, Alex, how would you handicap the chances of Steve Nash basically pulling the chute soon? Do you think he'll keep coaching long term?
It's a good question, and I've wondered the same right now. You know, he has 2 years left on his deal. I wonder if part of him just finishes it out and then they pick somebody else for when he moves on. But my understanding, again, going back to the idea of this not being the same rebuild post-Celtics, I think the Nets could put together a good enough roster from this trade to be competitive in the East next year. Are they going to be looking at a parade or anything like that? No, but you think about maybe having a first-round playoff exit or just being a 16 or something like that. I could see something along those lines, and maybe it wouldn't be a total rebuild like the Magic or the Detroit Pistons to where, as you said, 20, 25 win seasons. So I kind of wonder about him right now. I've tried to do some digging on that just of, does he stick this out even if it's just two more years? Does he walk right now and say, I'm done? Or is there some kind of median thing where maybe he just sticks this out for 1 year? Because it's so late to look for a coach. I mean, Utah just hired one, obviously, but they've already been through so much turmoil in the organization. It'd be just another thing added on their plate. I'd like to think maybe even just for consistency, you have him go through the year and then kind of go from there.
Yeah, great stuff as always. Really appreciate you taking time, especially on short notice. Thank you, Alex.
No problem, guys. Have a beer for me tonight.
Yo, we plan on it. Alex Schiffer of The Athletic. There's your boy with The Athletic, Jonas. He'll be writing all night,
nice,
man.
Oh, yeah. Check it out.
Sure.
So you know what, Hayes? I want to go back to our argument.
Okay.
So do I.
So one thing I think we're disagreeing on, I think the years left on the contract makes it so much different than those cases you just brought up. Like Anthony Davis, you remember like Boston was like rumored to be one of the teams that was interested, and his dad came out and said like he's not going to sign there. And at that point, he had like a year and a half left on his contract or something like that. And it was basically like, if you're going to give up all this stuff for him, just know in a year and a half, he's gone. Mm-hmm. And so I think this is different because if you trade for him, he's got 4 years left. Like, I guess you could get into an uncomfortable situation where he's like, I'm not coming or I don't want to play here. But like, Kawhi was the example and they got through that. And obviously he only had 1 year, but.
Well, and also you got to remember they didn't pay as much for Kawhi. Like, right. they paid
true
basically DeMar and Pirtle. And DeMar DeRozan's a good player, really good player.
Great season last year.
Great season. But yeah, they had other pieces on the roster. Danny Green came with them too.
Yep.
Right? Like that was a big piece that came with Kawhi to come up here. Where this is a scenario where it's KD, maybe to make the money work, there's another piece or two coming with him, but more than likely, it's basically Durant for a massive piece of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Like massive pieces of who you are, plus tons of picks. And I think it's definitely worth doing if he's committed to it or if he's willing to give it a shot. If he gives you this idea that he's not into it, I just wouldn't trust him.
Yeah, it scares
I wouldn't
you.
Trust him, and I would worry that, you know, this guy either, you know, demands out in a year and then you're right back to – you're even worse than square one because Barnes is in Brooklyn. In your division the rest of his career.
And
maybe
KD's 35 at that point.
And yes. Yeah.
And maybe a diminishing asset. That's the thing. Like, Jonas, you said the four-year deal. KD, doesn't matter. If he wants out, he's out. Like, that, it's proven in the NBA. These guys are like, check, please, I'm out.
Only, right now,
the only two examples of that just happened, and the only examples are Harden and Simmons. And those are, like, very unique situations that I don't think are similar.
Well, there's been other examples over the
history like AD
of the
played right until the end with New Orleans. Like they stopped playing him at a certain point, but like he was fine to keep playing his contract. He just wasn't going to stay.
I feel like Durant is a different animal. Like he's a guy.
Sure.
He's a guy like his, you know,
Jimmy
social
Butler
media. Like he
literally
just
demanded out. Like there's a lot of different.
No,
examples.
He just like yeah. Well, all right.
Anyway, it doesn't. It,
yeah.
Yes. It,
but
it,
so. You guys can answer the question. Do you think if you dealt all that stuff, you'd still have enough to actually win? Because that's what like they need. They would if they're having meetings about this, which they presumably will. That would be the question. If we trade Barnes XXX picks, mm-hmm. can we win in the next 2 years?
Yeah, that's got to be the clearly right. What you're asking. Is it worth it? Go
but
ahead.
Then you what you also talk to KD and say, is there somebody out there like you? You're trading away a bunch of stuff, but you're still bringing in other players potentially. It might if you have to trade away players, you're going to have to bring other live players in, and it might
right.
be somebody that KD knows, or you know, now he's an attraction. You can get somebody who you may not have been able to because they're like, I'll go play with KD.
Well, that's a big part of it is you could fill out your roster with depth pieces, veteran pieces who might take a little bit less to come up here and play with them.
Yeah,
but
right.
you got to prove that you're on the verge of doing it, and that is a difficult evaluation. Because that's not where they are in the time. They are not in the same timeline that they were when they went out and got Kawhi, right? Like that team right. already had Lowry, a blossoming Van Vliet, a blossoming Siakam. They had Serge Ibaka. They obviously had a coach that they liked and trusted in Nick Nurse. They went out and got Gasol at the deadline. You know, Green was coming up. Like that was a team that was clearly ready to win a championship. I'm not sure the Raptors would feel as confident in that this year, but with 4 years on the ticket, you know, it might be a scenario where you have a 2 or 3 year window where can you put pieces together that allow you to go for runs. I will say I'm not sure how many other teams in the league would be able to supply a package like
yeah.
the one that the Raptors have.
Yeah,
because the Raptors, they have their picks in the future, they have Scotty Barnes, which is a crown jewel, and any combination of Van Vliet, Siakam, and Anobi are young but in their prime players
mm-hmm.
and very good players. Van Vliet's an all-star. Siakam's an all-star. Anobi's not quite, but he's a level below it. Like a package of Barnes, Siakam, and picks, that's a huge package. Like
yeah,
that's
it would
an
keep
incredible
you,
package.
It would keep
yeah.
them competitive too in the East, which is what they need.
You're right. It probably would down in Brooklyn. Like if Simmons can play and they can get something for Kyrie and fill it out with different pieces, all of a sudden you may actually still be a competitive team. Anyway.
Wow.
All right, Leo Routens will join us later on. We'll catch up with Leo. We'll get his take on all this, what he thinks a package would look like, what he thinks the calls would look like. Does he agree you got to get some sort of contact with KD, get some sort of read on what he's thinking? It is different because of his age and because of the commitment he's already made, but contracts are worthless in the NBA. I guess that's the point I'm making. Like, it really
yeah.
doesn't matter. Like, he just signed the deal with Brooklyn, and 10 months later, he's like, I want out. He asked to be out, like, an hour ago, and they're already like, okay, yeah, we're making calls. Thank you.
They're going to have to figure that out. I don't know what you do about this issue.
The NBA?
Yeah, because
Adam
you can't
Silver?
Really, like, I'm all foreign player players having say in where they play, but this is tough. Like, he just signed. So.
He just signed. And Brooklyn's a big market, and he's still willing to move. All right, Ray's coming up. Ray Ferraro will join us. We got Roberto Luongo coming up. We got the Jays back in action, about to start a five-game series. When's the last time they played a five-game series against any team? And you got Tampa tonight. And you
almost got
Kikuchi
back into it last night.
Like, yeah, they did. They had a chance last night, and obviously it got away from them in extras. But and David Phelps, that was the issue. Couldn't throw strikes. Yeah. Could not throw strikes.
He had a top. Didn't he hit somebody for the walk-in?
Yep. Bases loaded. When you hit, it's never ideal.
Square in the back, too.
Yeah. Difficult strategy for sure. Yeah. So we'll tee up the five-game series with Tampa in town as well. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, Roberto Luongo coming up. He's into the Hall of Fame. He'll join us in just over half an hour. We got Buddy Leo coming up, Steve Phillips on a five-game series with Tampa in town, a doubleheader on Saturday, and the Jays in action tonight. They almost had it last night, losing in extras, but they won the series, and we'll tee the Tampa series up again a little bit later this afternoon. But we heard our man Ray calling the Stanley Cup Finals on ABC. It was great. We could catch it up here.
It was awesome.
Him and Sean McDonough calling the games, and I believe he's back home and settled in, and here he is. Joining us back on the Maple Toyota Hotline, our TSN hockey analyst, Ray Ferraro. What's going on, Ray? You got the Stanley Cup hangover or what?
Oh, my God. I hangover, whatever, tired over. I went to bed at 9 last night. I woke up at 10 to 8. I was like a teenager today.
That's awesome. Just shut her down.
You had to reintroduce yourself to Cammie and everyone, too, or what? You've been gone for so long.
Noodles, I have screwed up 3 things in the routine already. I've only been back a day and a half. I think I'm helping. Cammy's like, what are you doing? I'm like, well, no, it doesn't go there. I don't know. Things have changed 6 times since I left. It was so awesome to do, though. Like, I'm not even exaggerating. When they were bringing the cup out and they were, you know, setting the table up for the Conn Smythe and all that at the one end of the ice. And I was watching the Avs players. I mean, I'm literally 10 feet away. And I felt like I was going to cry, like seeing how happy these guys were. Like, I've grown to know Andrew Cogliano a little bit over time. And, like, he was just, like, beside himself. In like you know, he's played 1,100 and whatever, 40 games. Never been there. Broke his finger, cracked the other finger. I mean, he couldn't even hold the cup. He put it over his head. It almost fell. Like, his hands were mangled. Like, just watching these guys, Eric Johnson, Jack Johnson, the guys have been around forever. I was like, it was just awesome. And the best part about it, I guess, is the best team won. Like, all year, whittle down and whittle down. Good teams, better teams, better teams. And then it got to the end, and it was the 2 best teams, and the best team won.
Being that close to seeing the cup handed out, and you mentioned a guy like Eric Johnson, who had been a longstanding, kind of been there through the wars in Colorado. A big debate for us up here was who was going to be handed the cup right after Landeskog grabbed it. And I was joking, MacKinnon, I felt like MacKinnon would just grab it and do 2 hard laps because, he was a guy who was coming out of his skin the whole finals. I don't know if you noticed it, but, I mean, I felt like he was almost too excitable every night because he wanted it so bad. Did you feel the same way?
Yes, I thought he tried so hard that he wasted a lot of his energy, just trying to make everything happen all the time. And it was almost like in the last game, those guys knew the importance of it. Well, obviously they did, but I think there was a healthy respect for, okay, we kicked away game 5. We better win now, because what if we go back for game 7? And my thought was the fear was Vasilevsky would throw a 48 save shutout on the board.
Right.
Like, it was almost like, though, they just went, yeah, we got to win tonight. Like, but they didn't panic. They just played. They played so hard. That third period, honestly, I think I could have played goal in that third period. Kemper made the one great save on Kucherov on the one-timer, but he didn't have to do anything. Like, they checked them into a standstill. It was so impressive. And so when I see McKinnon out there, it's like everything was going so fast for him. I don't know if you guys, whichever broadcast you were watching at the end, but he did an interview with Emily Kaplan, and he started to talk about his dad wanting to share the cup with his dad and his mom, but also his second dad, who was his billet dad, who's fighting some health stuff. And it was just like, it was a side of him that just, like, I don't know, we've never really seen. And I was like, man, we don't know the stories on these guys, how much they fought and clawed and thought they were close, and then they weren't close, and then all of a sudden they are again, and you're like, man, I better not blow it this time. And I don't know, it was just, it was awesome to watch them play. But out of the leaders on that team, it was clear to me that Landeskog is, he's the guy that makes it run. Like, he's, it's his team. He was, in what he said and how he played, he was fantastic in that playoff.
So Nazem Kadri says what he says after the game about anyone that thought he was a playoff liability and how they can feel about him now. And now he's been spotted walking around Denver in a Too Many Men t-shirt. Which I appreciate, because it kind of reminds me of Tampa. Remember when they were gloating about being over the salary cap? And they're like, that's not our problem. We won the cup. You can chew on it. I like this. It's kind of a heel turn. And maybe it's Naz just accepting who he is and where he's at. But what do you make of the whole Kadri story throughout the playoffs?
You know what? I thought, like, there's not many times you get to tell the people that have been kicking you in the shins to beat it. And because you're the champion. Right. And he did. He had that opportunity, and he did tell them. You know, he said, go kiss my ass, right? So, like, good for him, because he's stewing on this for not 1 week or 1 month or 1 year. This has been years. And a lot of it he brought on to himself, right? It was his play that got him suspended. And that certainly led to the Leafs making the decisions that they did, and for other reasons too, you know, like cap and all that stuff. But he got a chance, and he was awesome this year. Like, not good, he was awesome. And then to come back, and he had, you know, I don't think we can understate this. Like, he had surgery 18 days ago on his thumb, and then he came back. Like, 18 days is no time to pop in and, okay, you're going to get your surgery fixed, or you're going to get your thumb fixed, and you're going to come back and play. And, oh, not only are you going to play, but you're going to be able to make a contribution like he did. And I, for all of it, like, good for him. Like, why not enjoy it? And if somebody doesn't like your T-shirt, too bad. Too many men on the ice, not, I don't know. There was one, I'm sure you guys saw this. There's a player tracking, you know, like they use the player tracking. At one point, there's 6 Avalanche players and 7 Tampa players on the ice. There's 15 guys on the ice. Everybody had too many men. It just happened that, yeah, the penalty should have been called probably because he ended up with the puck, but it's behind now and you can't change it, and there's no way to change it. There's going to be, you can video review everything if you want. You're never going to get it perfect. That's just the way it is.
Ray, it seems like every year after the cup, teams look around and they look at the cup teams and they say there's a lesson to be learned. What do you think it is from these teams, I guess Colorado specifically and maybe even Tampa?
Landeskog had a great point. He was asked that, and he said, draft Cale McCarr.
I heard that, too.
That makes sense. I'm writing that down. I like that idea.
Yeah,
so
write that one.
I think this is the biggest mistake we hear from teams, in that it's a copycat league. That's great. It's a copycat league. So go finish with 22 wins. Draft McKinnon, Rantanen, McCarr. Make a trade that becomes Bowen Byram. Have Gabe Landeskog. Like, everybody wants the end result, but they don't understand how long that end result took. And you've got to be terrible to get all of those picks, not once, but a couple of times. And the draft has to be fertile enough that the players that are at the top of the draft are the best players, because sometimes they're just pretty good players. They got game changers, franchise changers at the top of the draft. So to say we want to build our team like Tampa or we want to build our team like Colorado, I think it's a mistake. Like, everybody wants to be big, fast, skilled, and have Vasilevsky in goal. But you don't get that. Right. So I would say that what I see is you need skill to be able to make a play. You need size. Have to have size to be able to withstand the 2 months of the playoffs. Look at that injury list for both teams. It's a MASH unit. Right? Like, little guys, a team of little skilled players is not going to work. It just doesn't. Think of the players that really came up clutch deep into the playoffs. It was a guy like Nichushkin. Yep. 2 years ago, he somehow had zero goals and zero penalty minutes. Like, how was that even possible? You think he would have got a tripping penalty somewhere. He got nothing. But he's big, and he can skate, and he had a career year. A player like JT Compher, like, he's stout and sturdy, and he gave them 18 goals this year. Like, you need, the size has to be married with the skill, I think would be what I took from both of those teams.
Yeah.
Because they were, you look, like, Tampa's defense is big. There's no room.
The smallest guy is Bogosian.
Yeah, they're giants.
Yes,
back.
Yeah.
And so, now, Colorado lost Sam Girard, and so he's little, you know, 5'10"-ish, 175 pounds. They replace him with Jack Johnson, and if you're at that point, you say to a guy like Jack Johnson or Andrew Cogliano when they come in, we need you to do this. And they can do that. Jack Johnson gave him 11 or 12 minutes. Cogliano killed penalties and played on their fourth line.
Yep.
And so I would say skill first, surround by size, and then add at the end, you when you get closer, you target shop for the pieces you really need.
Ray, being in between the benches and watching those two teams that you just mentioned, the size, the skill, the determination on display, does it allow you to judge the other teams that you were in between the benches for as well, to see how far away or how close they are as well? Because that's the one thing. We always, regardless of what team that we either cheer for or you want to win or that type of stuff, you always go, well, that team can't do it against this because look at they don't have this, they don't have that. Were you able to kind of get a better barometer of maybe either how close or how far some teams might be away from that?
Just say the Leafs. Ask the Leafs. Leafs are there that far away.
Yeah, okay, so I'll say about the Leafs. Now, John Cooper, who, by the way, being around him and then Jared Bednar and Brad Brindamore and Bruce Cassidy, the coaches that we got to be around a lot, Mike Sullivan, like, their view on things helps clear or clarify some ideas you might have. And so Cooper talked about the first round against Toronto, and he said every first round is the same. It is absolute mayhem. Like, everybody's all healthy and revved up, and the games are all over the place, and then the playoff. If you can get through, you can settle in. And so in this conversation to both the Leafs, had they gotten through that first round, maybe they would have been okay to win another round. Maybe they would have been okay to win two more rounds. Who knows, right? Health and all that stuff would have come into it. But you can't look at this Leaf team that just finished and think anything about next year as of yet, because you don't know who the goalie is,
mm-hmm.
or both of them. You don't know who, you know, Mikheyev's not going to be back. So you're not going to get better when you lose these guys unless you get lucky. And the way you can acquire players plugs these holes. And Mikheyev's very valuable player to them, and that's going to be a loss for them. I would say this about Colorado, and maybe Jonas, this goes back to your, what can you learn? If you don't have Shesterkin, Vasilevsky, Demko, who am I missing, Noodles?
Markstrom, Hellebuck.
Yeah, like there's half a dozen, seven of them? If you don't have one of those guys, just save your money and get an average goalie, like a league average goalie. Put your money into skaters.
Hmm.
Just hope that the two guys you have give you average numbers goaltending. You know, if you can't have one of the best, you can't invent one. They're not a cyborg. You can't just build one and stick them in there. So you're gonna overpay for a guy that's still going to give you average goaltending. Try and shoot in that 9-10, 9-15, in that range, what the average was, And then don't worry about it. Spend your money on guys that can skate and move and be strong and make a play. They're the guys on the ice all the time. Darcy Kuemper didn't win them a Stanley Cup. What he did to him and Francois is they didn't lose them one.
So, Ray, right. We were talking about that yesterday. Who is that? Like, every guy we went through, we were like, well, but, like...
Yeah, but you, the guy that just won the Stanley Cup, yeah, but.
Yeah, but, yeah, it's true.
Right? The problem is, Ray, is he's going to get, he might get something with a six in it. So
ahead. Then that team's going to need $6 million goaltending from him. So what I'm saying is, I don't know how great Tristan Jarry is. I don't know how great Ville Husso is. If those guys are in the fours, you're saving $2 million. I'm not saying you're going to get a goalie for $1.25, but you're going to be able to find guys that other teams are going to look by initially. If you like him enough, I'd target that guy first because everybody's going to drool over the first three guys. And then most teams are going to be left out in the cold, and now you're really stuck. Like, is Cam Talbot a standalone number one goalie? No chance.
No.
But at his number, if you have an adequate backup that can play 35 games, you're going to be happy with that goaltender. Now, have you developed him? If you haven't, you should start. Because yeah. you're going to get pushed into a corner with Peter Mrazek. Like, what are you going to do with that contract?
Well, that's a big part of the conversation. Is there, you know, and last year, though, like, their line of thinking was that's what we're supplying here. Is Mrazek and Campbell can give us league average.
Yeah.
You know, and then
right. Okay, but so would it not have been a red flag to you, like, because it was to me. I've known Peter a long time when he was in Grand Rapids and won the Calder Cup. Landon was on that team. So I've known him a long time. So Carolina has one of the best goals against average in the league. They walk yeah. from both goalies. Not one, but both.
And then they take yours.
But no, okay, yeah, but you're already going to let Anderson go. But Jonas, they took one of the goalies that the team walked away from.
Right.
That had one of the best goals against average in the league. I forget where they were, 1, 2, 3, something like that.
Right, it's like anytime Tampa, the Rays in baseball make a trade with you, you're like, why are they giving up on him?
Right.
Maybe I shouldn't take him.
Right. And so, and then, so they're pro scouts, and they're, you know, they decided and they identified Mrazek as a guy that could come in here, and with Campbell at 1.6, I get what they did. They've spent just over $5 million in goal. But Mrazek's history of injury and history of inconsistency came back and bit them in the ass.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're now better. You've got to extricate yourself from that somehow. And you're probably, you either have Jack Campbell or hopefully a reasonable facsimile of him. You can bark at Jack Campbell all you want, but who are you going to get at 1.65 that was going to pay you more than, or play better goal than that?
Yeah.
The answer is you weren't.
But well, they're back at the drawing board.
But now, you know, now Jack Campbell is in the five range. So you're going to have to, if you want to bring the Jack Campbell that you know and like and respect back, you got to have to pay him a big raise.
Which doesn't.
Right, so here's the thing, Noodles. Here's an example. So for somehow, Vancouver stumbled into Spencer Martin, who was in Colorado. I forget how he got to Vancouver. He had a really good year in the American League. He came up and when they were all injured and stuff here and had a good run. He's going to back up most likely next year. Make $750,000. Thatcher Demko is, that's what they're going to hang their hat on because he's one of the better guys in the league. So my point is start developing guys. Maybe could it be Eric Schallgren or somebody like that? You've got to have somebody that's going to back up, that's going to give you reasonable numbers and not cost very much money. That's how you get a dollar figure that you can be comfortable with in that position.
Well, we're a couple weeks away from that. We got the draft before then. It's going to be wild. We always appreciate you finding time for us, buddy. Congrats on what was a great run and a great cup final, and enjoy the downtime. We'll do it again soon.
Yeah, you bet. Everybody have a great summer. And Noodles, I mean, I don't know. Ask Lou. He's a Hall of Famer now. Maybe he'll back up for $750,000.
Yeah, maybe. Bring him out of retirement.
20.
You
yeah.
know what I would love to see in his speech is you come out of the shadows with a briefcase attached to your arm, and it's his speech, and you just hand it to him.
We can make that
backup.
Work.
Yeah, we can make that.
The Hall of Fame loves us.
It's a TSN production. Exactly. The Hall of Fame loves us.
Just come out behind Duffy. Duffy will do his thing, whatever it is, and then you could come out like the Blues Brothers, dark glasses, come out and hand him the briefcase.
Yeah.
Be the best.
We'll ask him in 15. We'll let you know what he has to say. Thanks, buddy.
Well, guys, look after yourselves and to everyone that listened. Thanks, and hope you all have a great summer.
You got it, buddy. There he is, Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Build your next dream Toyota at Maple Toyota. Check out Maple Toyota's pre-owned inventory arriving daily. It's red tag days. Visit MapleToyota.com. Luongo in 15. Jay's in action. Kevin Durant wants out. That and more continues on Overdrive, TSN 1050, and on TSN 4. So there's a lot of details coming out of this Kevin Durant trade request. He wants out of Brooklyn. It sounds like Kyrie's going to go. I saw Woj tweeting or reporting that they still want to play together, just not in Brooklyn. I don't know what the hell that means. Like, why is Brooklyn the issue? But maybe it's something to do with the vax. I don't know. But reports coming out that the Suns are a team that KD wants to go to, but Brooklyn won't make a deal unless Devin Booker is included. So what does that mean for Phoenix? I don't know. But if that's the truth, then Brooklyn, as they should be, asking for a boatload. We'll continue with this one. The Raptors might fit in. The Jays in action again tonight. They took 2 of 3 against Boston. We got Roberto Luongo coming up. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.